Hello, my name is David Hagel. I'm a farmer, a cattle producer out here in Cabri, Saskatchewan, which is basically in the middle of the Bald Prairie. In the spring of 2013, May the 31st, I lost my wife of 20 years to a long battle with cancer, and it really left me devastated. Leon and I had managed our farm together in all those 20 years, and everything I did, she did. And so we always found ourselves in the same place at the same time, basically for the same reason. And I was really lost without her. But I realized that even in my loneliness, I needed to go on. So about 2 months later, I was baling hay for our cattle. And wishing I could have my partner there, but realizing this was work I needed to do alone. And so I was lamenting that, but realizing the cattle still need to be fed and the job was at hand. So it's late at night. I'm about a mile from home. There aren't too many lights, yard lights and things out where I live. So it's just the lights of the tractor and me. Every now and then I catch a glimpse of the stars. I can't remember if there was a moon, but I'm kind of lost in my own thoughts and feeling a little bad about doing the job I'm doing because it didn't feel right. And I turned the radio on and I went to CBC and ideas came on. And I guess at first I wasn't really, you know, it didn't really matter what I was listening to, but the more I listened and the more I became aware of what was being discussed, the deeper and deeper I was going into that conversation. And I really felt like the bailing became secondary. What I needed right now was what was coming through the speakers in my tractor. I was hearing a program on Henry Nouwen. I had a rudimentary knowledge of Henry Nouwen, and it kind of perked my interest. And so I guess just to occupy a few of the lonely minutes, I kind of keyed in and listened to it. And the next thing you know, there's really not a good way to describe it that doesn't sound really kind of, I don't know, sounds a little odd to suggest this, but I really felt it was the voice of God speaking to me, that it was coming through those radio speakers that God was telling me how everything was going to be okay. And this experience and this radio show at 10 o'clock at night in the middle of the prairies changed my life.
In 2013, Michael Higgins presented a series about Pastor Henry Nouwen, who spent a number of years at L'Arche Daybreak near Toronto. Daybreak welcomes men and women with intellectual disabilities, as well as the assistants who live, work, and learn with them. Henry Nouwen was one of those assistants.
When I came to Daybreak, they asked me to take care of a young man called Adam. And Adam cannot speak. And Adam cannot walk. And Adam cannot dress himself or undress himself. And Adam needs help every step on the way of his life. 25 years old, but totally dependent. And I look at him, how weak is he? And I carry him to his baths in the morning or take him to his breakfast, and it takes a long time to do it all. But the more I have come to know Adam, I realize how fruitful his life is. Because he calls me and us to solitude, and he creates a community around him that is caring and loving. Around this weak, broken person, people stand from different countries, from different personalities, from different characters, but they form community around this weak person. And when I am with him in silence, I realize how he says to me, without saying anything, "Henry, quiet down. Take it easy. Slow down. Be quiet. And trust that things are all right." And he doesn't have to say a word to let me know that.
Adam was Adam Arnett. He was a long-term resident at Daybreak and was 25 years old when Henry started looking after him. Adam's physical disabilities were so severe that Daybreak made special accommodations for him, something they'd never done before. Nathan Ball is the former executive director of the L'Arche Canada Foundation and was an assistant when Henry arrived at Daybreak. They had first worked together at the original L'Arche home in France.
Adam became Henry's particular place of belonging in the community. He had his bedroom there. That's where he had breakfast. He had he shared some of his meals. And he was asked to enter into a privileged relationship with Adam, where he would help Adam with his bathing, help Adam with some of his meals. And this was Henry's first experience of developing a personal and an intimate relationship, a close relationship with someone with a disability. At the beginning, Henry was more perplexed than anything. Adam didn't speak. Adam needed help to walk. He needed help to eat. He needed help bathing. And Henry was a man of words, if nothing else. Adam walked slowly. He was completely the opposite kind of man that Henry was. But as time went on, and in Henry's inquisitive and insightful way, he realized that Adam had an enormous amount to teach to him, to teach Henry, that is. And so the relationship emerged. So he wasn't the practitioner, but he could describe the importance and the meaning of that relationship and share it and communicate it very effectively with many people.
Adam was a gift to Henry. With Adam, Henry took his ministry to greater depths. This called for Henry to be more fully immersed in Adam's life and to go beyond just writing or speaking about compassion. It was living compassion in the presence of a person who was disabled.
Henry's brilliance, from my perspective, expressed itself in a couple of ways. First of all, Henry was a man of enormous, enormous compassion, and he had an ability to be a compassionate and healing presence to particular people and groups of people. The second expression of his brilliance was his ability to articulate the dynamics of that. How does that work? And to be able to write and to teach about it. As Adam became ill and it became clear that he was going to die, Henry was actually out of the country at the time. He quickly came back and he became this enormously powerful presence of compassion with Adam, for Adam's family, for the people that lived in Adam's house, and for our community as a whole. There was a quality of pastoral presence and pastoral care that just was infused with energy and with love and with focus that was profoundly healing. Again, that was Henry's gift to the world and to the people that were in his life, and to Adam at the point of Adam's death and his family and friends, was this ability to be a compassionate presence that was transformative.
Henry Nouwen understood that living a productive life is not the same as living a fruitful life. He wrote in his book Life Signs, "In our contemporary society, with its emphasis on accomplishment and success, we often live as if being productive is the same as being fruitful. Productivity gives us a certain notoriety and helps take away our fear of being useless. Even our most intimate and vulnerable moments can be invaded by the fear of not being able to deliver. But the handicapped have become my teachers, telling me in many different ways that productivity is something other than fecundity."
Do you realize that you are the beloved child of God? That's the mystery of your solitude. To not only cry and feel your pain and embrace your pain, but to trust that in the midst of that, there is that voice that says, "You are my beloved. You are my beloved daughter. You are my beloved son. from all eternity to all eternity. And all the love that comes from your father and your mother and your brother and your sister are only a reflection or a refraction of that first love that was there even before you were born. And you know what life is all about? I shouldn't say that sounds as if I know, but... But you know, one way of talking about it is life is a short opportunity to say, I love you too. God says, I've loved you from all eternity. I sent you in this world. And do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Yes. But you know, I'm full of pain. Yes, but I love you.
The one thing that I discovered probably resonated and perked my interest to the rest of the program was some advice Henry Nouwen gave to a friend of his who had lost a child. And Henry was able to communicate to them through his own experience and through the experience of his faith that every life matters, that even God grieves when someone dies. But what takes the place of our grief is an overwhelming joy and a love that sadly, as humans, we can't appreciate until we're dead. And the best way to find that joy, and the only way that we humans are able to experience that joy, is to allow the dead to be dead and to realize that no amount of wishing and hoping can change the fact that we don't have them with us physically, but that they're with us in a profound way, emotionally and spiritually. And I guess it was that reminded me that, you know, I just had to say to myself, David, as sad as you are, Leon is so immensely happy, it would be selfish to ask her back. So you need to live. So as a result of this awakening, you know, I still miss my wife, but she and I have a different relationship now, and it's truly amazing. And so what I did with that, I wanted to make her life meaningful, not only for me, but for others. I set up an endowment fund in her name with our local archdiocese that contributes to the formation of people seeking a religious life. And it just so happened that come that fall, the fall of 2013, the Archdiocese of Regina initiated a diaconate training program for either single or married men who were seeking a vocation to service in the church as an ordained deacon. And I looked at that and I thought, there is no coincidence. I think what Nouwen taught me and what I had gained from that one night in the tractor was that each life makes a difference. All we have to do is let go of fear and choose to be unselfish. And so I put in an application at 53 years old, realizing that, you know, I was taking a real leap of faith. I hadn't been in school since 1980, and could I really pull this off? And what happened was a new understanding that this was satisfying a calling and a longing. And so I've spent 1 year now in formation in my community. I've become, it sounds a little self-gratifying, but I've become a spiritual leader. I find myself called to serve those who have yet to find God in a strict denominational circumstance. I facilitate at memorials and funerals for anyone who's seeking comfort. And I believe I've helped people overcome their own guilt and their own fear. And I'm so relieved that I was given this opportunity. It's a gift that I truly am proud to share. And it freed me. It broke the chains of fear that I think I'd had my whole life. And maybe it's a fear that we all carry around with us. That sense of guilt and remorse that if we let go of that, somehow we're less a person, and somehow we lessen the impact of others and their lives on us. What I discovered was guilt-free joy is possible. And I have to credit 1 hour on a CBC radio program with teaching me that.
You've been listening to the first in our four-part series celebrating the 50th anniversary of Ideas. The series is produced by Allison Moss. You can